all over the building. One more time, can we bless the Lord with your hands? Solicit your prayers. Trying to do this today with somewhat of a toothache, amen. Today we're going to talk, going to teach from the topic of building from the Word of God. Building from the Word of God. Is the chair back there somewhere? Let's pray real quick, amen. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come here this morning and we thank you, God, because you are good. You are an awesome God. Father, you sit high, look low. Nothing has caught you off guard. You are not thrown off by anything. You are not shaky, spooked, scared. You are God. You are powerful. You are majestic. You are our everything. We love you, Jesus. God, every soul connected to the Unity Worship Center, Father, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you infuse us with your supernatural strength, that you infuse us with your supernatural healing, that you infuse us with your supernatural keeping on, keeping on. Lord, we pray for our sick and shut-in today. Lord, we pray for parts of our family that are in the hospital. Some are just up against all types of demonic attacks, and we let hell know that we say, hell, no. And we speak victory over this flock, those that are here and those that are at home, those that are wherever. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Starting next Sunday, God willing, and the creek don't rise, we will be shifting. Many of you, actually all of you, have heard me talk about in one way or another being students of the Word. And I'm just a first type of guy, so it's the first Sunday of the month, next month, and I'm just kind of preparing for this shift that I believe God wants us to walk into. Yesterday, after I feel like the most powerful leadership meeting that we have ever had as the Unity Worship Center, I left the house of God encouraged. I left knowing that I got some folk praying for me. Amen. And some folk left here knowing that they got some folk praying for them, amen? And we dealt with elephants in the room. And so I'm excited today. So next week when you come to church, come with your notebooks, amen? And I know some of the younger people got those devices. We want you to bring notebooks just in case the sermon gets a little boring and you get a temptation for Candy Crush or Instagram, you know. Yeah. And sad part is, I ain't talking about just teenagers. Yeah. The teenagers take a lot of notes. I see a lot of the teenagers' notes. Amen. So today we're going to begin to delve into some scripture for some to enlighten and for some to remind and for some to strengthen up our ways when it comes to the things of God. And I was looking at Psalm 119 in the New King James Version as well as the New Living Translation, and I found some of the wording to be very powerful. Psalm 119, verse number 1, in the New King James Version says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Amen. He says, blessed is the ones that's undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, I'm just going ahead and let you know now, this is going to be the last message for a little while where we deal with lifestyles. I mean, it's only so many ways to preach against sin. Amen. And it just comes a time when you have to receive what's been put out there, apply it to your life, and operate accordingly. Amen. Amen. And so what we are going to see, and I said this yesterday in the meeting, I said, what's getting ready to happen in Lexington is there's about to be a great exodus. There's about to be a great falling away from many ministries. And then I got home last night and the Lord says, for where we're getting ready to go and how we're about to shift, we're going to shake some loose here as well. Amen. Won't be anything that we're doing purposely. It's just simply teaching and learning and applying the word of God. And have you ever been in a place where you was the only one that wasn't doing something? Kenneth, get my nephew. He's going for my phone. I already know. So, have you ever been the only one? You know, everybody was supposed to wear white, and you came in gray. And even though it's white's cousin, it still wasn't white. Oh Lord, it's kind of like, you know, going to the party. And you got the wrong email for the wrong day, and you thought it was a costume party, but it was a black tie affair. In the future, going forward, we're going to be teaching to the point to where, because here's what's happening, and it's just every time that I think that it has gotten a little different, Satan rears his head and shows us that he is still hardcore at it. Amen. Hey, I want to take just a second before I go any further. And can we give Pastor Angel a hand clap? She and her team delivered, I think, 250 bags. Amen. And I'm going to show you ministry. I was walking in one of the houses that's connected to the Lexington Rescue Mission, and Miriam said, "Ain't that one of them big old buses that Angel be doing?" And I said, "Yeah, it probably ain't her though." And then I was walking to the door to go and do Bible study with some homeless people, and this guy comes up and he says, "Pastor, there's somebody in that bus that probably wants to see you." And I knew then my youth pastor was in the house. Amen. And I don't know if you guys saw on Facebook, I think it was 250 bags that they prepared to go out and be a blessing to the city of Lexington. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I'm happy to be connected to that. Yeah, I was really blessed by that. Amen. When you see ministry going forth all over the place. Amen. So in the New King James Version, Psalm 119, verse number 1, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." And let's look at the definition of the word blessed. And it's not going to be on the screen today, so we're going to have to work. But the definition of the word blessed, and the reason why I want to do this is because I am sure that a lot of people are walking around with the wrong idea of the word blessed. According to the King Word Study Bible, the Greek translated word, the Greek word translated blessed in these passages is makori, which means to be satisfied fully, to be fully satisfied. It receives, watch this, I want you, this is the part where you won't. It refers to those receiving God's favor regardless of the circumstances. Did you hear what I said? See, we got to stop thinking that when it ain't going our way, we not blessed. You got to know that when hell is popping off all around you, you are still blessed. And it doesn't make no never mind what's coming up against you and how you feel about it, because the reality is God said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't say, I'm with you when you win, and so shout when you see me. No, he says, I will never, even when I had to tell you no, I still ain't going to leave you. Even though I had to shut the door because there wasn't a door, an entrance for you to go through, I had to leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the Christian can say that we are blessed despite what it looks like. Oh, man, that's a hard lesson. That's a hard lesson to receive, because we automatically, we connect blessings with doing well. And if we ain't doing well, then God must be upset, or God must not be on the scene. You understand what I'm saying to you? But you got to have that type of faith to say, though he slay me. Yeah. I'm blessed. So let's look at the verse in its true meaning. Fully satisfied are the undefiled in the way. Fully satisfied are the undefiled in the way. Now let me ask you something, and many of you might, maybe some of you are already there, but there be some times I have some cravings. but what does it mean to be fully satisfied? Anybody in here have some cravings every now and again? Yeah, I'm on this kick. Lord, pray for me. I'm the Nestle Crunch family. I am putting their children through college, my Lord in heaven. And I'm eating healthy. I'm eating kind of healthy. Okay, I got my salad stuff. It's on. It's time. But what I'm telling you though is that every now and again I'll be sitting back watching a little TV, and I don't know. Just I'll be like, Miriam, did you see that? And she was like, see what? I'm like, the Nestle Crunch man. He just walked through here. Amen. And I share that with you because sometimes you have to just let people know cravings don't automatically mean, we got babies in the house, so I'm going to be gentle today. Amen. It's good to see you back in the house. Amen. I told your daughter, if you don't show up, I ain't preaching no more. I'm just going to stand here and we're just going to look at each other. Amen. Amen. So cravings. You ever have some cravings? It happens really when you go to the doctor and they tell you what you can't have. And you really wasn't that pressed for it at first. But now on the strength that you can't have it, they say you got to lay off the salt. And you just like, salt? Not salt. You ain't used salt in 2 weeks. It was already salted, whatever you ate. But now all of a sudden, salt? Can I take it deeper? For the people who did the fast. You remember how you wasn't studying nothing before the fast, and then the fast start. Oh, Lord, have mercy. As soon as this fast is over with, don't do that. You got 21 more days to go.
Jesus.
Every now and then we get some cravings. But some of those cravings are demonic. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes those cravings, for those of us that have the Lord has allowed to overcome alcoholism and drug addiction, you got to be careful about where you step your feet in, because they got these things called triggers. And the thing about a trigger is it's usually triggered before you realize it's lit. And I ain't talking about lit like the young people. I'm talking about lit in such a way that it's getting ready to burn up everything that God has brought you through and brought you to. So what does it mean to be fully satisfied? To walk through life and every area of your life be where you want it? Is that what it means? I think the Apostle Paul knew something about that when he said in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, when he said, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." That's a word right there, ain't it? I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things, I want you to notice, he said, everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. And then he comes back and he shoots this one. He says, "And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, I want to just go ahead and just give you some wisdom on this. Philippians 4 and 13 is actually a money verse. These are actually money verses. It's talking, if you read up there, you see that there's a conversation about money. And he's saying, so listen, I don't really need y'all to be going off and breaking yourself and this. And he says, because I've learned to be content no matter what the situation is. Amen. And then he's got this. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So watch this. This means that God's favor is more powerful than money.
That's right. There you go.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. God's favor is more powerful than money. Now. Now, I want to look at this these verses in the Message Bible. And Eugene Peterson says it like this in the Message Bible. Actually, now this is powerful. I want y'all to let this sink in. He says, actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much. With much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy. Y'all ready for this? Whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Hey. Lord, have mercy. Huh? Woo-wee. He said, I have found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry. Hands full, hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one. You now listen. See, here's the dilemma. You got to be in the one. See, you can't experience no peace when hell is all around you if you're not in the one. You have got to be in the one. You, baby, don't worry about in the club. Don't worry about in the Walmart. Don't worry about in the bed with babe, boo, Mary, whatever. Baby, be concerned about being in the one. I can do whatever and deal with whatever comes against me as long as I'm in the one. Lord, have mercy. That's powerful. Paul says, I don't have to have a lot to be happy, and having a little doesn't make me sad. And the mind state that I'm in is not contingent upon anything material, but rather my relationship with God. He says, I'm just as happy with the little as with much as with little. That's powerful, isn't it? Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. There was a time, anybody, and I want to see if I got any cousins in here, that the only time everything was okay was when my money was right. Huh? How many feel just a little better when your money right? Go on, put your hands up. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Yeah, yeah. Put your hands up, Kim. You know you feel better when the money's right. All right. Now, how many of us, you know, we don't feel so good when the money's messed up? Put your hands in the air. Amen. All right. I love honesty. Okay. Did you see what just happened? Did you see what you just admitted? That I'm not all good when the money ain't all good. I remember this time I wanted this car, and it was promised to me. Sonya's laughing. She remembers this. And they played me. That's what it was. Okay, they didn't play me, but I felt played. Okay? And so I'm telling Miriam, I'm like, they don't know me. I will go back to my storefront, Bishop Stephen D. Lyons. And I was sitting on the bed, pouting. And for some reason, I laid back, and the Holy Spirit said, "Now, D.A., we ain't talking about that car you owe me." I know where it's at. If you ain't found it, I know where it's at. We can go get it. Listen, so here's what the Holy Spirit said, right? And I want y'all to take this personal, like, for yourself too, right? He said, since when not doing the rest of your life in prison stop being enough? Because when you was facing all that time dead wrong, you wasn't thinking about no car. And the only car that you was driving was the one, you know, some of y'all won't know nothing about this, but the one you walk around a loop, just a loop, you know, that's the car. But watch this, are you ready for this? When did not doing the rest of your life in prison not be enough? When did 8 shots through your clothes, but not a bullet hole in your body, stop being enough? When did this happen? And God says, let me ask you something. When did the cross stop being enough? Now we did a quick study with the lifting of hands, and so we came to this conclusion that, hey, we feel a whole lot better when the money's right. And we don't feel so good when the money's wrong, which lets us know that we have more faith in the money than we do in God. Because what Paul is saying is, listen, I don't have to have a dime to my name. And I'm good. It can be steak or tuna fish. And I'm good. Can I take it deeper? It can be Gucci or George. And when you get older and you get a little more sensible, it don't make no never mind how much money you got. You look at the Gucci, you know, $329 for the pants, and then you look at the George, $19, and you go, $329. 19, 20. I can get a whole wardrobe with George. Huh? And look good. And if you ask me, it's Gucci. Yeah, my daughter, she, you know, her and my son is the fashion police. And they broke my heart, and y'all let me do it. And you saw those shoes, and you didn't say a word. these. I just knew I had came up on a lick. I bought some Jordans for $119. It was a birthday gift to myself, and they was fly, blue and white. I mean, they was dope. And my son texts me and says, "Hey, I just seen a picture of you, and I saw your shoes, and if you ain't gonna change them shoes, at least change your last name. We don't wear flights." And I'm like, "What?" Found me a pair of True Religion sweatpants. Walked through the house. Didn't even tell my daughter. I walked through the house on boss mode. You see these? True Religion. She said, "Daddy, how much did those cost you?" I already knew she was judging me. I said, $200. "We got them for $29 at Swap Meet Louis." She begins to go through the tag of my True Religion and find out that they was not True Religion, but they was fake religion. Do you remember a time, though, when you used to be a slave to a label that wasn't going to give you a birthday card to say thank you for supporting us? Do you remember a time when it had to be this, and if it wasn't this, then it wasn't nothing at all? And you didn't even have the budget for what you was begging for. Lord, have mercy. Paul said, I don't need no whole lot. And now, and this statement is major to me, because if we just think about it for a moment, in fact, let's think about tax season. Mm-hmm. For the people who live paycheck to paycheck, such as myself, or for the people who work enough to be able to file taxes and get the earned income credit and all the perks that come with having kids during tax time, if you will stop and think about it, they usually, this people group usually operates with two mindsets. When their taxes hit, you see some of the coolest and happiest people in the world. Let me tell you something. If taxes was a year-long thing, there probably would be no divorce. Am I talking in here? Yeah, yeah. Listen. I want you to catch this. When the taxes, I mean, you see some of the happiest people in the world. Truth being told, when tax season hit, you know when tax season hit because people get lightweight bougie. We gonna eat hibachi. If you don't get back over at that China King, this money ain't going to be forever. You got to be a little wiser with this money. It ain't going to be around forever. Taking pictures, you know, in fancy spots. And then we don't see you there no more till next year. Listen, but 2 or 3 months later, when the money has run out, you see the stressed out person, the agitated person, and the reason is because their security, their happiness, their mood and mindset is wrapped up in an income tax check. It's wrapped up in their finances. And I want you to see this. And this is what Satan does. He says back and goes, you know, you get that money and you ain't had a lump sum of money in a minute. And you get it and you go, shoot, look at that car. But the money that you got can't pay for the car. It can just pay for the down payment on the car. And what you fail to realize is that in 2 or 3 months, the money ain't going to be there, but the car payment still is. Now you hate what you love. Lord, have mercy. See, it's easy to shout, praise, and believe when it's all good. But for most people, when the money isn't there, they are reminded of the reality that they live in a for real, they live in a for real world, and they embrace life as a struggle and not a blessing. See, that's the thing. When you stop looking at the money, you can see the blessing. I told the house over there where I saw you at Fried. I said I'm off today. It's a spiritual care day for me. I said, but I think I'm just gonna go look at the trees. Just wanna see some stuff move. We was talking about trees on the way home. I said, you see? And Miriam is great about that. She sees clouds, and she be making to me and Maya, we just be like, yeah, we see it. She's like, you see Jesus right there? That looks like on the cross right there. And I'm like, yeah, we see it. My daughter said this the other day. We was riding through some countryside, and she said, Lexington is really a beautiful city. And you know what I thought about? I said, and it ain't costing us nothing just to ride through it and see it. See, because when the Bible talks about don't let your treasures be stored up in the earth. But you know, don't let your treasure be things that can fade away, mildew, moth, get stolen. You understand what I'm saying to you? He says, but when you store your treasures up in heaven. See, the reality is we have to break this chain. We got to break this thing that keeps us in a slave mentality that says, if I ain't got money, I ain't okay. With that mentality, I wonder when Jesus looks down and he goes, so again, when did I stop being enough? Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Listen. And so we have, oh God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. The Lord says, in fact, I'm offended when you see life as a struggle and not a blessing. That's what the Holy Ghost just said. He says, I'm offended when you see life as a struggle and not a blessing. And if we're just being honest, listen, I hear you. And if we're just being honest, the parts that we say is a struggle is the parts we did ourselves. How many of you can look back from now to January and say, if I wouldn't have spent that on? Oh, God. With the apostles' way of thought, there is a freedom from the chicken one day, feathers the next mentality. Because when your being is truly in Christ, when your being is truly in Christ and you have a firm understanding of that, then every day is chicken. Then you open the noodle and you be like, thank you, Lord, for this noodle. Huh? Anybody really never talk about jail? Anybody in here been locked up before? Uh-huh. I know somebody. Uh-huh. And you remember the noodle? Huh? When you remember commissary day and you got that noodle? Hey, it was steak. Then you get home and walk past the noodles in the aisle and be like, psh. I still do a dance in the aisle where ramen noodles is. Because let me tell you something, baby, be hungry. Have nothing in the refrigerator. Have nothing at all to eat. Have nobody coming through for you. WIC done ran out. Food stamps done ran out. And sugar daddy done ran out. And you ain't got nothing in the cabinet but some noodles. And I tell you, you'll eat them noodles, blessing the Lord on high. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I think it should be the mindset that we should all strive to embrace. It doesn't mean that you are settling. It doesn't mean that you think less of your worth. In actuality, it's knowing that your worth is worthless unless your worth is in Jesus. Huh? Psalm 119, verse number 1. The New King James Version, it says, blessed are the defiled, the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. The way is what? Christianity. When you see in the Bible and it says the way, it's talking about Christianity. It's talking about our walk. And so with our definition of blessed, to be fully satisfied regardless of the circumstances, let's do it like this. In Psalm 119, number 1, to be fully satisfied regardless of the circumstances are the undefiled in the way. Now let's stop right there and deal with another word in this verse, which would be undefiled. Undefiled biblically means not made corrupt. Not made corrupt, impure, or unclean. Not made corrupt, impure, or unclean. Not defiled. It is untainted. It is uncorrupted. What stood out to me in this definition is the word not. Mm-hmm. So someone who is undefiled is someone who has not been tainted, has not been corrupted. Lord have mercy. And this is important because as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become new and we are cleansed of all of our unrighteousness and we are made pure. Once we receive our new life, we have to guard it against being made corrupt, against being tainted, against being made impure, against being made dirty. And we guard our new lives by guarding our minds. Let me. How many of you got kids in here? And you remember when your kids used to run around listening? You remember when we first introduced them to Jesus and all they listened to was the church music and all that type of stuff, right? And then as they got older, you know, they still listen to church music, but you know, you let them go spend the night over people's house. They 6 and 7, but they family that you let them stay with, and you. But see, you might not have they might not have the same mindset over there as we got over here. Now all of a sudden, you get your baby back, and your baby's saying some stuff that you know you don't play in your house. Then all of a sudden, your kid starts going to school. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And gradually, grade after grade, summer after summer, activity after activity, you begin to say, I don't know who this child is. Because what has happened is, well, since we have released them into the world to live life, to begin to understand life, they run into toxicity. So what happens when the saved baby, when the baby comes from the saved household, gets to hanging with the babies that ain't in the saved households, and so the babies from the unsaved households, it ain't their fault, but the babies from the saved households look at the babies from the unsaved households and go, man, y'all get to have fun. Man, you get to wear anything you want. You get to do whatever you want to do. And then the baby comes back to the saved home in rebellion. Because they've been reconditioned in that short amount of time. And that's why it can't be no hypocrisy in your walk. Because the moment they see traits of the kids from the unsaved household in your household, baby, we got a problem. How you gonna say don't and you do? You know, in our generation, my generation, you get slapped for that. Let me talk not too much about slapping. That tends to upset people. But we were better. We were better for that, right? So now what the Christian home has the almost impossible feat to accomplish is to keep your kids saved in an unsaved world. And the stage is set against us. The stage is set against us. Amen. Listen, and this is why we've got to guard our new lives by guarding our minds. Now, to the ancient Hebrews, the heart and the mind, the thoughts. So you know, you know, the mind was translated to heart, and you know, and all, so I want to give you three reasons of why Paul said in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Let me tell you why he was saying you got to guard your mind. Keep translated in Hebrew is kep, K-E-P, which means to guard. K-E-P, kep in Hebrew means to guard. And this is why the New Living Translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And there's three reasons that it's so important. Number one, because your heart is extremely valuable. Your mind, it's extremely valuable. We don't guard worthless things. We take our garbage out on the street every Wednesday night, and it's picked up on Thursday morning. It sits on the sidewalk all night, completely unguarded. Why? Because it's worthless. Not so with your heart. It is the essence of who you are. It is your authentic self, the core of your being. It is where all your dreams and desires and your passions live. It is that part of you that connects with God, other people. Just like your physical body, if your heart, your spiritual heart dies, your leadership dies. Lord, have mercy. This is why Solomon says, above all else. He doesn't say, if you get around to it, or it would be nice if. No, he says, make this top priority. Guard your heart. Number two, because your heart is the source of everything you do. King Solomon says, it is the wellspring of life. In other words, it is the source of everything else in your life. Your heart overflows into thoughts, words, and actions. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have you ever had a thought that you did and it didn't work out for you? But before you did the thought, you looked at the thought, you knew the thought was wrong, but you did the thought anyway, and hey, it felt all right for a minute, but then the thought come back to bite you. You've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard your mind. You have got to be, and when I think about the word guard, I think about a military soldier that's sitting here with an M16, and when craziness comes to your mind, it says what? Halt, who goes there? That's what they say in the military. Halt, who goes there? State your name. State your purpose. See, the problem with the Christianity, the 21st century westernized Christian church is we let people come in without knowing their purpose. If you look good and you smell good and you talk good, we can talk about your purpose later on. Come on. You got to guard your mind. I was telling Pristine yesterday, I said, what type of rap music you listen to? She said, I really don't listen to rap music. I'm a blues girl. And I said, really? I said, you don't listen to like drill music or nothing like it? And she said, no, sir, I don't. I said, why not? She said, I just really don't like rap. And I said, you know why you shouldn't like rap? Ladies, are y'all ready? Women, are you ready why you shouldn't? Here's why you shouldn't like rap. Why would you support somebody that calls you out your name all through the song? Hold on, let's take it deeper. Why would you support someone that tells you in the song, I'm going to do what I want to do to you, and then I'm going to leave you alone. Then I'm going to talk about you. Then I'm going to tell everybody how I did it. And then I'm going to turn everybody on to it. And watch this. And can I just go ahead and say this, parents? If you are allowing your children to hear music like that, do you know that you are already setting them up to fail? Do you know you are already setting them up for the abortion clinic? You already setting them up for planthood and all of that? And it ain't nobody's fault but your own. You understand what I'm saying to you? Why in the world would a woman want to hear music, pay to hear music that's going to totally degrade her? He's dope. No, you're stupid. And you run around here wondering why you deal with low self-esteem and depression, but you're steadily listening to music that tells you ain't worth nothing. I just listen to the beat. No, you don't. You listen to the words. How are you going to tell me I listen to the words? Because you act like what they say. See, the thought poured out into, and that's why you got to guard it. That's why you got to guard it. You got to guard. If you know you weak in certain areas, leave certain areas alone. You understand what I'm saying to you? Make this last point. I'm out. Guard your heart because it is under constant attack. When Solomon says to guard your heart, he implies that you are living in a combat zone, one in which there are casualties. Many of us are oblivious to the reality of this war. We have an enemy who is bent on our destruction. He not only opposes God, but he opposes everything that is aligned with him, including us. You hear me? You have an enemy, but it's just music. It's just music. I'm going to say this and I'm done, man. You know, remember that night Dog Father came out? And we all went to GT Sounds. And GT Sounds on Georgetown Street, it was packed out. I'm talking about y'all, it was packed out. If y'all remember when Snoop brought out his first album. And we went, and I ain't gonna lie, I got the tape and the CD. Remember, B's got the tape and the CD, and we just, and it was saying, women, it was saying, I want you to hear this. It was saying, the word B's, right, ain't, but, And here's the thing, it was more women out there buying the CD than men. If you go to those concerts, you'll see more women than you will men. Yeah, I'm going to go to the Puff Puff Paz concert. I'm going to be in church tomorrow, but I'm going to the Puff Puff Paz. How many times did you puff and get you passed around? Just wake up. What in the world did I? Oh, Lord. You got to guard your heart. Beloved, you got to guard your heart. Because if you don't, the enemy will infiltrate and destroy you. We got to get to this point in life where we just be like, I am not cool with sin. On the count of three, let's say that. I am not cool with sin. One, two, three. I am not cool with sin. On the count of three, say, sin hurts me. One, two, three. Sin hurts me. Now, can we have an honest moment? How many of us going to still keep listening to that music, even though we know it hurts us? Yeah. How many of us are going to continue on in whatever sin it is that we're in, though it's not doing us right? The beautiful thing about this Bible, the beautiful thing about this life that we walk, this walk that we walk, is that we don't have to be victims. Because truth be told, Satan really isn't your victimizer. When you know right from wrong, you are the victimizer of you. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that? No matter how big or how small the sin is, it has enough to destroy your life and then send you to hell. It's that real. It's that real. Parents, I want you to do some homework this week. I want you to be 100 about how you're training your baby. What's your baby be seeing? What does your baby be hearing? What does your baby be seeing? What does your baby be hearing? What does your baby wake up to?
Come on now.
What do you wake up to in front of your baby? How many, you can call him daddies. And how many girlfriends have you brought in front of your child? Man, you don't get off the hook. How many times have you rolled down the street with profanity blaring through your car? Kids in the back seat with a nugget meal. And then you get a call from school. They done cussed out the teacher. And you ready to go put your hands on your baby. You should spank you. Where'd they learn it from? Where'd they get it from? And it's not enough to just say, I ain't going to do it around my kids. Let me tell you something. We thought them kids didn't know nothing. I mean, boy, we were smooth. One day at Applebee's, Destiny says to me, Daddy, can we get the hot fudge sundae? And I looked at the hot fudge sundae because I'm supposed to act like it matters how much it costs. And it said $7. $7. And I said, did you bring your allowance money? And she's like, no, sir. This is dinner. And I said, what makes you think I got it? And Stephen, Malika, and Destiny, and Brianna all looked at each other at the table and started laughing. And I said, what? What's so funny? And they said, we're going to get in trouble if we tell you. And I said, no, y'all know how we get out. Speak your mind. And Stephen said, Daddy, we know you're a hustler. And I said, what do you mean a hustler? And he said, no, Malika says, do you really believe that we just think you sell weed? Hold on, I didn't know you knew that. I was smooth. I said, what makes y'all think this crazy? And Stephen says, every night, you shut that door. Shoo, 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 100. Shoo, 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 100. And I'm sitting here blown away. A young lady's in my bed, and my girlfriend's at my door. And I run out and I say, shut up. Don't say nothing. I'm going to take you to Chuck E. Cheese. Shut up. Boom, 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 boom. And my daughters are laughing. They're laughing. Daddy's a player. My son, yeah. But I didn't know that I was training them. Oh, my precious queens. It's okay to mess with a guy like me who's gonna dog you, disrespect you. Son, don't have no respect for him. Do him however. That's what I was training them, see. Training them for that. Every time they see me walk out with that money and drop this to a female, would you hear them? I was training them to be prostitutes. That's what it is. You do know that, right? When the dude ain't really your dude, but y'all do you and dude stuff, and dude go back home, but he throw you a little something, that's prostitution. Only thing he should be throwing you is his name. Yeah, that's the only thing he should be throwing you is his last name. How are you training? How are we training? How are we training? And I'm not coming at anybody, because I'm going to tell you, I stand here today and I ain't said stories about nobody else. I set up stories about me. You dig where I'm coming from? How many mothers we got in here? Put your hands up if you're a mother. Okay, put your hands down. Put your hands up if you're a young mother. Now, I ain't saying y'all old. I'm talking about, do I got any mamas in their 20s, teens, or anything like that? You? How old are you, baby? 23. How many kids you got? One? Okay, that precious baby. Oh, that baby's precious. I'm going to hold that baby. Yes, Lord. I'm going to hold that baby. Tara Banks, how old are you? 24? Everything you say, everything you do, everything you expose her to is training. And you don't get to get mad when training come back to you. You got this big, beautiful brain and mind. You got so much to give that child. Make sure your training are right. We're going to pray every night. We're going to pray over our meals. You're going to sit here. I'm going to read you this Bible story. If I got to give you candy to make you sit there, you're going to sit there. I'm going to read this Bible story to you. What's your name? Asia. Do you know that you are parenting the future? Do you know that Satan, what's that baby's name? Amarion. That baby, do you know that Satan absolutely hates your baby? No, I mean, hates your baby. Will do anything he can to destroy your baby. And guess who is responsible for not letting that happen? Hates you. You know all the hell you've been through? All the hell you've been through? We should be guarding these babies like it's not my baby. Not my baby. I couldn't sleep if my baby had to go through what I went through. What I put myself through. What I allowed other people to put me through. Not my baby. When you see sin, you ought to be doing this to your child. Come on back here. That's sin. That is sin, and we don't do it. You see the blunt smoking, you smell that good. That better be the last time you smell it. That is sin, and we don't do it. You go over somebody's house, and she laid up with somebody, and the baby know that that ain't, come on, we'll come back. You should have told me that before you told me to come over here. That is sin, and we don't do it. It's that real in the field. Because if you don't, guess what you're saying? Have at him, Satan. Have at him. You should be willing to lose friendships about your babies. You should be ready to lose a man, woman, whatever, about your babies. Family members, you should be ready to lose them about your babies. On the strength that they don't have to go through what we had to go through. I'll walk this planet Earth alone. We got to get back to raising Christian families to where the Bible, what it says, settles it no matter what. And I'm going to tell y'all something. You know what's so deep? Them babies, they going to thank you for that a little later on. They going to thank you when they see what they dodged, what they see what you blocked them from. when they see how it could have turned out, the plan that Satan had for them, they're going to thank you. They might not be able to stand you right now. Oh, but when they get a little older, stand to your feet. Let me get you out of here. Oh, hold on. Sit down. Got some awards. This is what I want you to do real quick. Y'all come on down. I want you to hear this real quick, okay? And I've said this before, but you're going to feel the shift. The shift is so serious. We discussed this in such great detail. The